Good morning. Good morning. If you were to glance at my name tag, you would know that my name is Nathaniel today. Everyone calls me Nat, but I like seeing my real name written down. I just realized as we were taking communion together that today's reading actually follows directly on from what Paul was talking about in communion, coming together as a family and celebrating the Lord's Supper. But before we read, let's pray. Dear God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the window to your heart that it becomes for us. It is for us. And we pray that our hearts are open to hear you, to be changed by you, to be molded as a church family into your spirit, into the likeness of Jesus. Thank you for this church. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 24. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them, and in every one, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given, through the Spirit, a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between the spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, interpretation of tongues. All these are works of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts come from one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slaves or free, we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the foot, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honourable, we treat with special honour. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no such special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honour to the parts that lacked it. Thank you.
All right. Well, good morning, everyone, again. Really want to give a big shout-out and appreciation for all of you who answered the call to arrive early to help us with the check-in process this morning. It looks like it's gone really well. I haven't heard from the team yet, but we really appreciate it. And it's been wonderful to see all of you guys come together to make that possible. I encourage you, keep coming early. Help us get that stuff smoothed out, sorted out really well, and we really appreciate it. Now, we are kicking off this morning a four-week series. We're looking at the vision and mission of our church. This is something that we do at the start of every year, and I've got a little story to help explain why that is. Anybody recognize this immediately, where this is? Bondi, good. Heard Bondi, yes. That's all right. So this was Bondi. My wife and I and our kids, we lived in Sydney for a few years. And one morning we thought, you know, when the kids were little, we would take a trip out to Bondi. And so just a bit of a reference point here, if we were sort of living just out this way, Bondi is down here, and we ended up there. So why is that? It's because of this little section of Sydney, which I can zoom in here just a little bit more and then just once again. The problem is that Google's satellite technology doesn't love overlapping roads. All right. And in this one little sort of section here, you can either end up on the Cross City Tunnel that takes you out towards Bondi, or you can end up on this road, which takes you north across the bridge and up towards Taronga. And because I hadn't really mapped out things in advance and had just sort of trusted the Google technology, despite the fact that this was what we thought we were doing when we set out that day, this is what our actual day looked like. And as much as we enjoyed it, we didn't exactly land on the vision of what we had intended at the start of the day. Now, we were able to make the best of it and all that sort of stuff, but it kind of gives you a picture of how you need to know not just where you're going, but you also need to know how you're going to get there and what's actually really important. So it turned out that on that day, we thought that what we wanted was Bondi, but actually what we were really looking for was a great day out together. Because when we realized our mistake, we didn't sort of shift everything to try and then get back to Bondi. We realized actually the whole point of this was just to have fun as a family. We can pivot on this and still make it into a good day. And so with that in mind, here's a quote from Craig Hamilton in his book, Wisdom in Leadership. He says, the reason that vision, mission, and strategy matter is because they help you provide clarity, and clarity is what everyone wants and needs. All right, we spend time at the start of each year to talk about who we are as a church and what we're looking to achieve together, because it's that clarity that will enable us to achieve this vision, because we're all working towards the same end. Because we want to make sure that we understand as a church family what God has called us to do together. So during the first half of today's message, I'm going to go through these four sort of groupings of ideas: our vision, our mission, our values, and our culture elements. So our vision gives us clarity on what we want to be. Our mission gives us clarity on what our main focus is. Our values give us clarity about our core beliefs that these other things are built on. And our culture elements are things that really identify us as a church through the patterns of behavior that we emphasize. Now listen, guys, for some of you, you will have heard this before, and as you get to the end of this first section, if you're like, oh gosh, James, I feel like we've heard this before, I'm going to be like, yes, it's finally sinking in. Okay, that's where I'm going to be at. Because even though this is our bread and butter, and this is something that we want to talk about all the time, it's really important that we're all super familiar with it, because again, this is what gives us clarity. And if you're visiting here with us, you know, we've had lots of people coming in over the summer, people move into the area, people are looking at maybe new churches, maybe they're checking out Jesus in the new year as they're rethinking their spiritual life. It's also really good for us as new people to come in and understand from the get-go what this place is about, so that you know what you're getting yourself in for. So let me break down these things. You know, I'll go through fairly quickly, but I also want to see how they come from the scriptures, and you'll see why in just a moment also. So it's our vision here at Living Church to be an ever-growing community of people who love the Lord and one another. Okay, just quickly, what are the elements of this? When we talk about ever-growing, we mean that in two different senses. We want to be ever-growing in terms of number, because that's what we see the early church doing. So at the end of Acts chapter 2 there, talking about after Jesus has ascended to be with the Father in heaven and what the early church was doing, it says that they took bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. From the very birth of the church, what the church was doing in proclaiming the gospel was seeing more people added to the family of God. And so we want to be a community that continues to add to the number of people who are in the kingdom of God. Not for our own glory's sake, not because we love numbers and that's where we get our sense of identity from. It's because numbers represent people. Okay, it says that added to their number daily those who were being saved. That's what we want to see. We want to grow because we want to see more people join us in the kingdom of heaven. But we also want to be growing in terms of our maturity. We also want to be growing as people into Christ-likeness. We want to be growing in what God has made us to be, to become the fullness of everything that he has for us as those who not just believe in the Lord Jesus, but who live like him also and follow him all the more. And we do this in the context of being a community. Community is a word that originally, so you go back to the Latin and trace where it comes from, and it's two words joined together, con, meaning with or together, and munus, which means service. So when we talk about a community, we're talking about a group of people that have a common service together. Sometimes when we think about community, we think about just, you know, everyone likes each other and it's a good vibe and it's positive and all that sort of stuff. And that is a sign of a healthy community. But ultimately, at its heart, the idea of a community is people who are working together towards something. And so while we seek to grow in number, and while we seek to grow in maturity, we do this in the context of a community who is serving one another together and also serving towards that common vision that we have, which is loving the Lord and loving one another. That should sound pretty familiar. It's Jesus' big summary, right, of the law. When one of the teachers of the law came and heard the disciples debating, noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, of all the commandments, which is the most important? And Jesus says, the most important one is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. So we want to be an ever-growing community of people who love the Lord and one another. And the way that we do that, our main focus and how we're going to get there is by making disciples. It's our mission to make Christ-like disciples in Southeast Brisbane and beyond. When we talk about making Christ-like disciples, this again comes straight from the scriptures. It's the mission that Jesus gave to his disciples right before he ascended to be in heaven with the Father. He said to them, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. That is the mission of the church. We're going to talk a little bit more about different ideas that some people can get in church sometimes in the second half of the service. But what we're really looking at here is this basic idea that what Jesus has given us as the people of God to do is make disciples. And this is for all Christians through all time. This is what we're meant to be doing. And we do this because the love of Christ compels us. As we think about what we've been rescued from, as we think about all that Jesus has done in our lives, as we think about the overflowing love that we have for Jesus and everything that he has accomplished, that love now drives us to seek to persuade others that they too should follow the Lord Jesus, because he is good, because he's the way, he's the truth, he's the life, because it's through him that we become who we're truly meant to be. And we do this in Southeast Brisbane and beyond because, again, from the very beginning, the gospel has been given to those in Jerusalem, that's the local picture, in Judea and Samaria, the neighboring areas, and then to the ends of the earth. And so we're concerned with doing this mission, not just here in Carina and Southeast Brisbane, but also in supporting ministry work beyond, both through our mission partners that we give money to and pray for, but also in equipping people here in this church so that we can send them out and they begin doing gospel work all over the place. Then, our values. What is this stuff built on? Where does this come from? Hopefully you're starting to get a little bit of a sense already, because every one of these points I keep taking us to the scriptures. It's because the vision and mission are built upon our foundational values of being biblical, first and foremost. We believe that all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, and correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Everything that we seek to do here, we want to make sure that we're thinking about what the Bible says about it. We want to be living in accordance with scripture. We don't want to be making up for ourselves how it is that we're meant to follow God, but rather we want to take the revelation that God has given to us in his word of who Jesus is, of who God is, and how we live in this place together. And we read the scriptures and build all of this stuff upon what we call a Christ-centered focus. Because we think that Jesus taught his disciples that all of the scriptures were designed to point towards him. On the road to Emmaus, when he's walking along with the disciples and having a chat and they're reflecting on Jesus' death and resurrection, they don't realize exactly who it is that they're chatting with yet. He finally, when he busted out to them, says, beginning with Moses and the prophets, he explains to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. Jesus himself gives us this picture that the way that we understand the scriptures is through everything he has done and who he is as the Messiah, fully God and fully man. And then last in the values is we want to make sure that in everything we do, we are loving. As it says here, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." Now, here's one of the things super aware of. Depending on which church tradition, in fact, most church traditions, there's probably not a lot that we've said through these first three categories here that anyone's going to disagree with necessarily or sort of push back on. That's not typically the sort of response we get. But this is an important concept to grasp, okay? Churches can believe the same thing. They can have the same theological statements. But that doesn't mean that every church that you walk into has the same vibe, right? Like we could sign the same theological documentation and say, yep, we believe all these things. And yet your experience when you walk into one place can be significantly different from another. Two churches in the same suburb with the same biblical doctrines can feel very different. Why is that? Well, what that is, it's the culture of the place. Because Scripture speaks to all of life, but there are definitely certain things that different people and different leaders and different communities value at different weightings. And that can sort of inform how the place feels. And so we want to be really deliberate about the culture that we have here so that we're aware of what we're building. Because the thing is, culture happens whether you deliberately build it or not. We'd much rather sort of have an idea about what we're doing and try to work towards it thoughtfully and, again, in accordance with what we believe we're meant to be doing here in this place. And so we've identified five cultural elements that we deliberately emphasize. That when we think about how we're going to do things, we want to make sure that it aligns with these things because we believe this is really important. Now, there's all sorts of good things in the scriptures. We're not trying to say that we do these things to the exclusion of those other things, but these are the things that describe the vibe of this place. Okay? We want to be giving these things constantly. So, what are they? We value being authentic, intentional, welcoming, encouraging, and grace-filled. Really briefly, what do we mean by each of these? When we talk about being intentional, we seek to be deliberate about what we do and why. Right? We really think hard when we're sort of putting our programs together, when we're mapping out the calendar, when we're thinking about our discipleship programs, when we're thinking about our relationships, when we think about, again, the vibe of this place. We're really deliberate about that. We put a lot of thought into it. When people come behind the scenes into some of our leadership meetings and that sort of thing, I can see that one of the things that strikes them, it's like, oh, wow, I had no idea that you guys were really thinking through this to this sort of level and depth. That's often a sort of response that we get from people. So we see this a little bit. I mean, this is one of those things that I think we see through the ministry of Paul in all sorts of ways. This is just one example of when he asks people to pray, he's doing so with a deliberate goal in mind. He says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. He's deliberate and intentional in what he wants to see happen through prayer. Please pray for us that God would open the doors so that the mystery of Christ can be proclaimed even while I'm in chains. All right, it's deliberate, it's intentional, it's thought through. That's what we want to be. Same thing when it comes to being authentic. We seek to be genuine, real, and honest. We want to be transparent and truthful at all times. That means being willing to confess when we've made mistakes. It means being open about our thinking. It means that you guys, if you have any questions about what's going on or why we're making decisions, that we don't sort of say, oh, no, that's a leadership thing, don't you worry about it. No. We want to be open and honest with the reasons we're doing. Now, we can't always reveal everything. There's plans, there's privacy, there's all sorts of different stuff that might mean it's a stage sort of thing. But we're always going to have a posture of openness. And if I can't tell you something, I'm going to explain why I can't tell you. Because we want to be authentic and real and genuine. Again, as it says there in 1 John, dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. We want to make sure that we are not hypocritical proclaimers of the gospel who say one thing but do another. We want to live it out in full. We want to be welcoming, which means we seek to be warm, friendly, and hospitable in all of our ministries, those that are facing externally, but also internally. It says here in Matthew, May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another. In some translations, it is literally welcome one another, just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to Christ. We get lots of people coming from lots of different backgrounds, different cultural backgrounds, different language backgrounds, different socioeconomic backgrounds, different educational backgrounds, different church backgrounds. And we want to make sure that we welcome people in. Now, again, we know who we are. We have an identity. People need to be able to work with what we're talking about this morning. But we also want to welcome people in knowing that everyone's going to be at different points. It means living with a certain degree of messiness. It means recognizing that sometimes things are going to be a little bit bumpy, and that sometimes something might be working really, really well, but because we want to be welcoming and bring others in, we have to be willing to let it get messy again, which can be difficult and challenging. It also means that we do things like introduce check-in so that we can have names and welcome more people in and do a better job welcoming new people, because we really, really care about this. And so sometimes welcoming, a posture of welcoming, means a posture that says we're willing to change in order that we can keep welcoming others in while still holding true to who we're meant to be. We also want to be encouraging, which means we seek to give courage to people through confidence, hope, and support. We've talked about it before. One of the most common refrains in all of Scripture is the Lord exhorting his people, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be terrified, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." I don't have time to get on my soapbox about this morning, so I won't. But the church should not operate in fear. We've not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. We should not be responding to what's happening in the world around us. We should not be responding in anxiety towards the future with fear, but rather with confidence that comes from knowing that Christ has conquered sin and death, that the Lord is in control of all things. And so the way that we live out this life now means when we are afraid, when we do have doubts, when we are anxious, that we seek to lay those things at the Lord's feet and to overcome and be courageous. And again, not in a pretend way, not in an inauthentic way, not being terrified and pretending like you're brave, but actually sort of saying, I'm not going to live in this fear. I'm going to seek to be courageous even when I feel anxious, even when I'm afraid, even when I've got that stuff going on. And finally, on the cultural elements, we want to be grace-filled. We seek to live in the grace and liberty according to the freedom that we have in Christ. As it says there in Romans 8, "Therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death." What this means is that we don't seek to bind people's consciences or our own behavior and patterns beyond what Scripture actually does. If you have a personal conviction about how you are to live your life, that is wonderful, and we will encourage you that if you think that's what the Lord is calling you to do, awesome. But we are not going to be a place where we try to put artificial man-made rules on one another to conform to patterns, even with good intentions. But rather, we're going to trust that transformation comes through grace working in a person's heart. We're not condemned into doing the right thing, but rather they're set free by the love of Christ to love others and love God well. You'll get that the longer you stick around. All right. So, there they all are, our vision, mission, values, and culture. We had a request. We did a big workshop yesterday looking at how we can improve Sunday services. One of the requests was, can the slides be made available after the service? So I'm going to try and figure that out. So if you want any of these, I'll try and, again, put that up on socials or some links on the website or something so you can get a hold of it. But there they are. Now, that's the general stuff. That's the stuff that you have hopefully heard before if you've been around this place for a little while. If you're new, like I said, welcome. These are the things that you need to know about us. But each year, even as we say the same thing again, there's definitely things that we identify that we want to work on. There's points of emphasis as we look across our church community and we say, hey, we think we need to invest in this space in particular in one way or another. And so to help us introduce this idea, I'm going to do a little interview with one of our awesome church members. This is Tom Neville. Let's give Tom a big round of applause. He's going to love that. All right. Tom, how you doing, man?
Hello.
All right. So, Tom, tell us, how long have you been a part of Living Church?
15 years.
15 years?
Yes.
All right, so wait, I want to ask when you were, how old you were when you came.
I was in grade 10.
You were grade 10?
Yep.
There you go. Okay, so from youth, pretty much?
End of youth, yeah.
There you go. Awesome. So how have you been serving over the years here in Living Church?
I did youth for about 10 years. I did youth twice through with growth groups.
Is that because we held you back? Or
fun?
No.
No. Yeah, some of the boys are still here, which
yeah.
is good.
Yeah.
And then I also did light and sound for 11 years. And I've also done comm for 2 years. And I've also done maintenance of the church for about 5 years now when it comes to electrical work as well. And also I did, not just for the church, but also other churches, I did Gents Camp for 4 years as well, which was awesome.
Awesome. And so, okay, so that's what you've done over the last 10, 11 years or so. What are you doing at the moment?
I have a little break. Been busy. I was part of comm for 2 years as we transitioned from board central comm to comm doing more maintenance.
So comm is the committee of management, that's the finance and building stuff and all that sort of thing.
Make this place keep going.
Yeah.
So I've been doing a bit of that, but I've also, when I was doing that, I had time off work. I only work 4 days a week, so that was good, being able to come here and fix things that are broken and make things happen. But this year I'll be slowing down a bit, but I'm transitioning to morning service for sound instead of PM. That's why you probably haven't seen me. Yeah, PM has bangers, by the way.
Yeah.
so that's where I'm at.
Awesome. Now, you've clearly served in lots, and in a really awesome way, like you said, you moved back to working 4 days, and then you basically spend your other day here doing all sorts of stuff around the place. What drives you to serve in all these different ways?
I serve because of what Jesus has done for me, which is really cool. I serve because of the example he's given us. I also follow in the footsteps of the people before us who have served, the examples of my family and also the leaders that have influenced me. Also, I'm driven by the Spirit to serve, which is really cool, which as you talked about earlier, which really drives. I think God really puts in our hearts the effort to serve him and serve him well, which is good.
Awesome. Amazing. Let's give Tom a round of applause. Thank you very much for that little insight there. Tom is such a great example of what it means when we're talking about a point of emphasis for this year, which is that we all have a part to play. Tom has served in multiple ways over the years. And even, it's funny, when I said to him, hey man, would you come up and share some of this stuff? He said, I'm stepping back from a few things this year. I actually said, that's actually great. I would love for people to hear this, because the thing is that while we all have a part to play, it's going to look different in different seasons. Sometimes it's going to be high-intensity stuff, direct people things. Sometimes it's going to be behind the scenes. There's all sorts of different things, and it changes. But the key thing is that as we move through the seasons of life, we're all looking for ways to serve together and play our part. So to give us a little bit of a picture of this, I've got a question for you. In your own mind, what's the difference between a bus and an orchestra? Now, there's a lot of ways you could answer that question. But this is the way that I want to sort of try and get into this. There's this famous business book called From Good to Great by Jim Collins, and he talks about how these successful companies over the years, what they did was they got everybody on the right seat in the bus. But I always thought that was kind of a weird analogy, because the thing is about being on a bus is you're just a passenger. So getting everyone on the right seat actually isn't the best analogy, because they don't just then sit there, they do stuff. Like an orchestra is actually a much better analogy to sort of make the idea that we want to help everyone find the right place for themselves, because not everyone's going to be, connect with every single instrument and that sort of thing. We want to group people with the people they want to work with and that sort of stuff. There's a difference between just being a passenger and actually having a part to play. And I like that analogy, but there's one that I like even more for the church, okay? So what's the difference between a cruise ship and a fishing boat? Right, we introduced this idea for those that came along to our quarterly church life meeting on Wednesday. Cruise ships are great, right? They look fun. There's all sorts of activities. It's bright. Everything's taken care of for you. But the thing is that church is not a cruise ship. Right? Church really is a fishing boat. When we shared this with my daughter on Wednesday night at our church life meeting, she was there. She was like, did we just get downgraded from a cruise ship to a fishing boat? I'm like, yeah, that was my idea. She's like, we could have been a cruise ship. And I get it, right? That's the appeal. Like, you look at those two pictures, one certainly seems more appealing than the other. But the thing is that as the church, we're meant to be working hard and going somewhere together. We're not meant to be passengers, but rather we actually get into the down and dirty stuff that needs to happen for the boat not just to get to its destination, but to achieve its mission and do all the things along the way that needs to happen. Now, it doesn't mean that we don't have fun together. It doesn't mean that there's not good stuff that happens socially and relationally and all that sort of thing. But the thing is, we are working together. And so to fulfill our vision and mission, we need every member of the church to play their part. But I want us to be hearing this through the lens of understanding that that's going to look different for all of us. Okay, hence our reading that Nat gave to us before. Listen again. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them, in everyone, it is the same God at work. We've got the same Spirit living within us as believers in Jesus. We're serving the one God, but there's lots of different things that we do even as we do it together. Paul goes on, he says, "Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To each one, individuals, are given these things for the common good for all of us together." It's a lot of text on the screen. Let me just highlight it to sort of make the point here. Again, to one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another knowledge, to another faith, to another gifts of healing, to another miraculous powers, another prophecy, another distinguishing between spirits, another speaking different kinds of tongues, and still another the interpretation of tongues. But behind all those differences is the same Spirit, the one Spirit moving in and through it all. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. We all have different gifts and different abilities. Okay, what I love, why Tom is such a great example of the sort of thing that we're looking at, you know, he's an electrician by trade. That's his skill set. You wouldn't normally associate that with the work of church, but he's been super deliberate in using his gifts in order to bless and serve this place in accordance with what interests him, with what he's skilled in, with what he has talent in, with what he cares about. If you like, you know, if you're looking for something to do for 45 minutes, ask Tom about lighting. He'll, you know, happily, you know, run you through some stuff, all right? But this thing, there's all sorts of gifts in this place, and we want to make sure that we're all using them together to serve our one God. And it's going to look different. And Paul sort of understands, though, that when you talk about this, that people are going to have different feelings about it. And so it's really interesting where he goes next in the passage. He says this, he says, "Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit as to form one body," okay, "whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, we're all given the one Spirit to drink. So the body is made up of not one part, but of many." And then he says, "Now, if the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be." See, recognition of difference between us can then immediately lead to comparison and an attitude that says, "Well, I wish I was that, or it would be better if I was this thing." But for Paul, he's saying, no, there is a richness that comes from recognizing that we all have these different gifts. And if we didn't have this gift, if we didn't have this part of the body, okay, we would be losing out on really important and significant things. And so we need to recognize that as the body of Christ, as much as we serve the one Lord, and as much as we all have the same vision and mission together, and as much as there's all these things that identify us together as the one church, there's also many parts to it, and we need to honor and respect all of them. If they're all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. Whatever your gift is, whatever you're skilled in, whatever season of life you're in, whatever time that you have to spare now, whatever your travel schedule, whatever things that your kids are involved in, whatever the shape your family dynamics are in and all this sort of stuff, we get there's going to be diversity. We get that there's going to be seasons of high-intensity service and high skill and all that sort of stuff. There's going to be places of high visibility and honor that just naturally come from being up front and this sort of stuff. But there's also all sorts of other things where even in the really hard seasons, even in the difficult times, even when we're being stretched, there's a part for us to play. And shame on any of us that would say, oh, because I'm in this high-profile, high-intensity place that now I look down upon those that are only doing what they can at the moment. But rather, we want to encourage that and say, it is so great that you continue to serve, you continue to give, even when XYZ's going on. Even when you don't feel right now like you've got much that you can be doing. When we work as the body of Christ together, we all work towards that one vision, but it's going to look like different things. I used a music analogy before, so I think that's brought me one sport analogy. They always tell preachers, don't use sports, but whatever. Our champion, Brisbane Lions, right? Yes, very exciting season last year, okay? When you look at a champion team, there's, again, there's the guys that everybody knows. There's the guys that are on the field. There's the guys that everybody sees. There's the captains who get all sort of respect and attention and all this sort of stuff, okay? Some people, if you're a real tragic, you know the names of coaches and the behind-the-scene guys and general managers and all that sort of stuff. But the thing is, to actually make a team work, you need everybody there, because when somebody goes down, you need people there that can care for them. You need them to be there on the side, people whose names nobody will ever know. Some people's job is just to cheer and encourage and to be there, actually like saying, no, you can do it. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to be here. I'm going to offer an encouraging word, okay? Some of them, I'm not sure how positive their words are. But but this is the thing. When it comes to actually all of us working together, if we're going to achieve this vision, if we're going to be the church that God's called us to be, we need to recognize that we do all have a part to play. And so my challenge to you this morning is, as we get into 2025, okay, and lots of you already know your place. Lots of you, you're already serving. Lots of you, you're already signed under teams and all that sort of stuff. But for some of us, right, we need to ask ourselves the question, what is my part? What is my part in this season? Is it time for me to step up and do more? Is it actually time for me to say, you know what, I've been serving in these spaces, I've been behind the scenes, but actually, I've got a little more capacity. Maybe it's time to stretch myself. For some, maybe you've been going really hard and actually you've just got to be honest with this and say, actually, I might need to slow down and take a little break because these things are going on. Is there something else I can do? Wherever you're at, we need to be asking ourselves, as we have this common vision, how can we love and serve the Lord well together? How can we all play our part to achieve this mission and vision? Now, over the next few weeks, we're going to be thinking more about how we're going to work together to tell people in our community the good news of Jesus. We're going to be thinking about how we can work together to move people from immaturity to maturity, and we're going to be thinking about how we can work together and play our part to see mature people become even more mature. That's where we're going to be going with this. But this week, my prayer for all of us is that we'd answer that question well. What is our part to play? So we're going to pray now, and then we're going to sing a victory song. We're going to sing a song that declares our hope and our trust in Jesus. And we're going to sing that together as God's people. So let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for this vision that you've given to us as a church family. Thank you for the privilege that it is to love and serve you in this place. Thank you for all of the way that so many people serve and give of their time and their treasure and their talent. Thank you for the way that so many people just give year after year after year. And we just pray, Father, that you would be moving in each and every single one of us to be encouraged to play our part, to clarify for ourselves in our own mind what we're doing as a church, but also as parts of the body within it. That we'd think about what are the gifts and skills that we have that we can give into this place. That maybe we hadn't even thought about our gifts and skills as being something that would be needed in this place, but now we realize there's many parts for us to play. And we pray, Father, that as we do this, that you would use us as your people to fulfill your mission, to make more disciples, to see more and more people come into the kingdom of God, to add to our number daily, for your glory and so that more people might be saved and join us in the kingdom of God, so we might sing your praises forever and ever. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.